settlements and the apartheid wall, which destroyed the nature and environmental landscape. The planning committee did not respond to requests for comment. When the Zionist regime annexed East Al-Quds in 1967, it took the northern section of Al-Walaja as well. Today, Al-Walaja is split between Al-Quds and areas B and C of the West Bank, so one-third of the land is controlled by the Al-Quds municipality and the rest by the Bethlehem Governorate. The Al-Quds area of Al-Walaja has been at risk of forced displacement for a decade as a result of the planning committee's refusal to discuss an outline plan. This refusal has made it impossible for the community to obtain building permits, so Araj had to construct his house without one. Amid the absence of building permits, demolition orders have increased. More than 20 homes have been razed in Al-Walaja since 2016. The Zionist regime authorities have prevented Al-Walaja from developing while expanding Jewish settlements around the village and the apartheid wall, the barrier separating the West Bank and the occupied territories. Construction of the wall on three sides of Al-Walaja cut off the village from nearly 300 acres of its agricultural land and turned that land into Nahal Rephaim National Park. Our Gilo settlement lies to the south of Al-Walaja. The Israel Civil Administration's proposed expansion of the Har Gilo settlement to the west of the village will extend the wall, thereby enclosing Al-Walaja and fully isolating it from its surroundings. The Civil Administration did not respond to requests for comment, mentioning how the villagers are now blocked from the olive trees they harvested before the wall was built. Araj said the wall and the settlements deprived us from accessing our own land that we worked so hard to cultivate. Al-Walaja residents experience harassment daily from the Zionist settlers and authorities. Araj explained, "The civil administration confiscates our equipment when we start building a new house. The settlers around us use drones to take pictures when we start building and send them to the civil administration. The police put checkpoints at the entrance of the village and sometimes inside the village, and the Walaja bypass road connecting Har Gilo settlement to Al-Quds gets a lot of traffic, so it limits our movement." Araj lamented that if his home is demolished, he will likely leave Al-Walaja, the place he has called home, his whole life. He said, "It's a huge tyranny that I have to leave my own house and my own land." The Zionist regime doesn't provide alternative or temporary housing for Palestinians whose homes they demolish. Sari Kronish is Al-Quds planner for BIMCOM, an Israeli planning rights organization, described the government's lack of consideration in helping displaced families find housing as one of the dark sides of the Zionist regime at the moment. Kronish said the very sad reality is that the authorities don't offer the uprooted Palestinians anything. They just treat them as lawbreakers who are receiving their penalty, adding, "People just become homeless and become displaced." Er Amims Cohen emphasizes that what Israel is enacting isn't just the wide-scale displacement of Palestinians, but also an attempt at annexation. She elaborated, "It's an acute humanitarian toll that's exacted upon the families, but it is also in service to the Israeli objective of consolidating control, which completely undermines any sort of conditions for a two-state solution based on two capitals. Because if you can completely segment Palestinian continuity and advance steps toward de facto annexation of these areas, then you're foiling a prospect of an agreed resolution." in what many Palestinians have described as a continuation of the Nakba, that is Israel's 1948 ethnic cleansing campaign in Palestine. The Zionist regime is currently in the process of expelling thousands of Palestinians from East al-Quds under the pretext of preservation. Cronish said more and more open areas in East al-Quds are being designated as preservation or national parks, and this is clearly in order to prevent Palestinian urban development. In the Al-Bustan neighborhood of East al-Quds district of Silwan, mass disposition looms over the residents in order to make room for the touristic venture, Garden of the King. The community of Sheikh Jarrah is experiencing displacement at the hands of settler groups for the Shimon Hatzdik National Park. The Zionist regime has long employed the practice of stealing Palestinian land and claiming for recreational purposes. Many of the Zionist regime's prized national parks were built on top of Palestinian villages destroyed during the Nakba. For instance, in Al-Quds, the remains of the village of Lifta are now a national park and hotel. Garbage and graffiti adorn what's left of Lifta stone houses. Most of the village's inhabitants, who were expelled in 1948, and their descendants live in refugee camps around Al-Quds, unable to return to home. Cronish said, "It's a form of institutional confiscation and settlement in the guise of green protection. Displacing indigenous peoples under the claim of conservation is an inherently settler colonialist tactic spanning regions and centuries. Most well-known national parks in the United States, like Yellowstone and Yosemite, were once Native American tribal territories. In order to create an uninhabited wilderness, the federal government first had to remove the native peoples living on that land. Modern environmentalism ignorantly dictates some environmentalist assumptions, suggest humans cannot coexist with wildlife. But that racist assumption idea ignores the history of indigenous communities living with and preserving nature. Native Americans understood how to sustainably tend to the land. And just as in Al-Walaja, maintaining the land is part of their livelihood." Cronish explained, "This type of agricultural lifestyle is very dependent on people living on and working the land harmoniously. Once people are displaced, attempts at preservation became artificial. The residents would argue that by continuing to live there, they are more able to continue to preserve. For them, it's not a question of preservation, it's a question of a way of life and connection to the land."
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the scholar of this program is Mrs. Razia Shameli.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. You are listening to Muslim Lady, a program which discusses the issues regarding Muslim lady. I'm Farman Ali Masumi, and with me, my wife, Razia Batul Najafi. Salamun alaykum
wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Great ibadat, and you are asking me to come with you. That is, you know, amazing. Thank you so much.
Definitely, it is a great ibadat to share the sayings of Aimma Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam with our dear listeners. I hope they can utilize as we are trying to utilize and amplify their beautiful sayings in our daily life. So we were discussing a beautiful saying of Fatimatu Zahra salamullah alayha in our last episode, that Hubbiba, she says, I have chosen three things, you know, three things are very, very beloved to me. The first and the foremost is Tilawatul Quran, because these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By looking at Quran, you can get unlimited sawab, you know, just by looking at it, its words.
Yeah, you know, people, people used to go to Ayatollah Behjat and they used to ask that, what can we do for our Imam? So Ayatollah Behjat, he would reply that, you know, you have Quran, you know, your Quran, you open up Quran, that means you're visiting your present Imam. Imam is Mahdi, Ajalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif.
So
because we say Quran
in Atiq,
yeah, Quran is Samit.
The same verses our Rasulullah, our all the Ahlul Bayt Imams, they have recited. Beautiful verses recited by Jibreel. So we have this opportunity to recite and to say with our this tongue these beautiful ayat. Number two is
An-nadharu fi wajhi Rasulillah. Inshallah, we are going to visit our Holy Prophet very soon. But nowadays, what can we do? That is my question.
Because in the presence of Rasulullah, it was definitely looking at his face was ibadat. And why this was ibadat? You know, the face of Rasulullah, he was not, extraordinary something. You know, it was a normal human face. But by looking at the face of Rasulullah, they would get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the main point. You know, by looking at his face, you would realize that there is a great creator who has created this beautiful personality, this beautiful face. So, but again, the question is nowadays, how we can look at the face of Rasulullah? Because we don't have this opportunity to look at his, you know, physical face. The answer is very simple and easy. We have the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Amazing, amazing, yeah.
Even the ayat of Quran, by looking at these ayat and ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the examples and utilizing his, you know, sayings and examples in our practical life, we can look at the face of Rasulullah.
But not only Rasulullah, even the sayings of Imam Ali and Hazrat
Zahra,
it makes Rasulullah's heart very, very happy. And also ulama, the scholars, the expert, you know, the pious people even, because we have hadith that, you know, live with them, live with someone who's higher than you in iman, in
say,
faith.
An-nadharu fi wajhi al-ulama,
ibadah.
Fi wajhi al-alim ibadah.
Yeah, looking towards alim
because
and
what does alim do? Alim represents Rasulullah, the Aima Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam.
But definitely practicing alim,
practicing,
inshallah,
definitely. Inshallah. If you have this belief in your heart that he represents Rasulullah, he is on the same way, he is guiding people toward the same path that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to guide people towards that path, you know, that will bring all the reward and all the sawab to you.
I remember one hadith says looking at husband is sawab, and one more hadith says looking at alim is sawab. So mashallah, you are my husband and you are alim, you have the dress of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Because of all the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, we all have to try our best to utilize them in our practical life.
The
please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
By understanding the ahadith of Rasulullah, by utilizing them in our practical life, by looking at the ulama's face, by looking the seerah, the practical life of ulama, we can see at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By looking the ahadith of the representatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from our first imam to the last imam, which is alive, this is a very, very great opportunity for us.
Al-Infaq fi Sabilillah. Al-Infaq fi Sabilillah, I love the way, you know, there are so many other ibadats are there. But look at the selection of Our Lady. Because infaq, giving charity in the way of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is very essential. You know, I was just reading that when Allah tabaraka ta'ala wanted to introduce Imam Ali alayhi salam as a wali, as an imam, Imam Ali is full of merits. You know, his bravery is there, his salah, namaz, and fasting, and so many other ibadat are there. But in Quran, Allah says, "Innama waliyukum Allah." You know, who's your wali? The one who gives, you know, charity while he's in the position of ruku', you know, during the salah. So Allah has chosen the quality and attribute of infaq and giving away and sharing and generosity. Here, Bibi Fatma Zahra Salamullah Alayha, she has chosen, you know, something goes to Allah, at-tilawatu fi kitabillah, an-nazaru fi wajhi Rasulillah, and then, you know, there are so many ibadat. Yeah, she's not saying, I love to pray only. Pray. No, she's saying, al-infaq, you know.
And she says, I love hubbiba ilayya. And sometimes you like it, you know. You want to get some sawab by donating, by giving charity, but in this case, she loves
exactly.
Is, you know, from bottom she, of
exactly.
Your heart.
And she's the daughter of Ummu Sakha Khatijat al-Kubra, salallahu alayha. Like mother of generosity, Fatimat al-Zahra, she's daughter of mother of generosity.
Hazrat
who's
Khadija,
the mother of
Khatijat al-Kubra, salallahu alayha.
She loved to share and care and give. You know, she's giving this message. Even the wording again, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَا
كُمْ
دُنْيَا كُمْ like
from
your word. Like this word is not that much dear to me, only this word. This word can be a mean, a tool, a medium to reach to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then I love it. Definitely I love to be, you know, donate my things, my time, my kids, my family, my wealth, whatever I have. But I'm not attached to this world. This is your world, because we are giving so much importance to this, you know, red and blue and the stones and the stuffs. So, but Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha, she says, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ أَسَّلَاسَ.
Wow, beautiful point, because she knows that people usually, they love this world. Ourselves also, we love this world. And we, you know, we did not try to implement these beautiful sayings. If we look at in our heart, do we utilize this hadith, infaq fi sabilillah? Do we know the importance of infaq fi sabilillah?
We love to collect. We have collection of so many
things. We always show the greediness.
Yeah,
we are always greedy. We want to collect, as you said, all the, you know, financial thing, all the material thing for ourselves. We fill our house with different things, with clothes, with, you know, vessels with all the household
unfortunately,
stuff.
Unfortunately, you know, the role models which they are showing for us, yeah. The heroines, means the one, the success is with the one who has collected lot of money.
Lot of
not
money.
The one who is just sharing it, you know. And, you know, one point which I truly like, nowadays science is talking a lot about it, is that the true, the genuine, the high level of happiness comes when you share. When you donate, when you give. Like, for example, if I'm buying a new latest mobile, yeah, cell phone, so maybe I'll take pleasure for few days, few months, then slowly, slowly the level of pleasure comes down, yeah? But if I'm using normal mobile, and if I'm giving the same normal mobile, you know, donating to someone else, so then my pleasure, state of pleasure will, become very high. I can uplift, you know. It
will give
speed
you
up.
Unlimited pleasure. Yeah. No? The pleasure, you know, you will not feel just for few hours or few days. It will remain with you until that person uses and benefits from that device.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, as you said, nowadays, you know, we look at these worldly role models in Instagrammers and YouTubers and footballers and actors and actresses. We always keep following them, and we know each and, you know, a single word, whatever they do in their daily life. If you ask, a young boy or girl about a specific footballer, whatever they have interest in, they will give all the details about that person, you know, whatever cars he has collected, where does he live, what is his, you know, lifestyle, what foods he likes. And slowly, slowly, this sets up their mentality. In their practical life also, they go towards these things. They try to achieve all the money to get all these facilities. Then they think that now we are a successful. We have truly followed that person. So, unfortunately, this is like this.
Yeah. And whenever we talk about infaq, I remember chapter Itsan, chapter Dahar. Now again, in chapter there, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when he wanted to praise the family of Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullahi Alayha, again, Allah has chosen the charity, yunfiquna. Yeah, what was the ayah?
يطعمون الطعام على حبه يتيما
ومسكينا وأسيرا. Yeah, يطعمون. Again, they are sharing. You know, look at the ayah. You know, like it's not just talk about that Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha. She's praying. She's fasting. Not only that. You know, the most focus is on infaq. So you can reach to Allah Tabaraka wa Taala by serving people, by helping
so
others.
There are a lot more to discuss with our dear listeners, but again, this
time doesn't
clock
allow
is
us,
not
yeah.
allowing us. I hope our listeners have enjoyed as we did here, definitely. Until our next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the love one?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah,
Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return. The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and today on the 42nd anniversary of the nationwide referendum when 97% of people of Iran voted for the Islamic system of government under the leadership of Velayat Faqih, or the most knowledgeable jurisprudent, in the absence of the Lord of the Age, the Holy Prophet's 12th and last infallible heir, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance to establish a government of peace and justice. Let us listen to what the awaited savior of mankind has said in this regard. In case of occurring social problems, refer for guidance to those who relate from us, for they are my hujjah, or argumentation over you, and I am Allah's argumentation over them.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Nowruz Special. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. These days, corresponding with the birth anniversary of Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, are usually the time for discussing the issue of apocalypse, that is, the end time. The apocalypse is a deep-rooted belief among all human beings. It is the end of the world, when good and evil will be disclosed for good, and man will attain his old ideal. In many religious narrations, apocalypse is the period that is related to the reappearance of Imam Mahdi, the time when the world will go through many developments. Sedition, chaos, different crises, and above all, injustice will prevail. All these evil events will end with the coming of the Savior of mankind. The apocalypse in the Islamic culture is the era of flourishing and perfection of human being. It is a period in which the divine promises will materialize. The Islamic teachings stress that before the reappearance of Imam Mahdi, the entire world will experience grave changes. Human community looks alive, but it has been beleaguered by gradual death. A lot of signs have been mentioned that act as precursors for the coming of the promised Mahdi. One of the signs is that the distinguishing of right from wrong will be very difficult. Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, says that religion will be distorted and the Quran will be deserted in that era. Corruption and immorality will be rampant. Money and wealth will be venerated like a sacred thing. Imam Baqir, peace upon him, says, the Qa'im will not rise up until great fears will happen. Seditions and troubles will overtake people. Deep differences will take place among people. And there will occur discord in their religion. As all religions have promised the coming of the Savior, the Divine Messengers also presented signs for that era which can help us to identify it better. In a few verses of the Evangel, we read, at the time when the Jesus was sitting on the Olive Mountains, the Gospels come to him, saying, tell us when will be the signs of your coming and the end times. Prophet Jesus mentioned some of the signs as follows. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars because of a nation will rise up against another nation and a country against another country. There will be drought and fatal diseases. In many places of earth, quakes will occur. The world will be full of violence like the times of Noah. Immediately after the great disaster, they will see the Son of Man, who will come inside the clouds with bedazzling power and glory. Today, some scholars maintain that the coronavirus pandemic is a sign of the apocalypse. Dr. Shafi'i Sarvestani, writer and researcher, says, there are certain and uncertain signs of the end time. Some of the signs, like drought, famine, flood, different diseases, and fear, have existed in the past too. They might happen again, as they are among the uncertain signs. We cannot say definitely that the events that we witness today are the ones that have been mentioned for the end time. Some narrations mention the white death as a sign. Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, has been narrated as saying, before the uprising of Qa'im, there will be two deaths, the red death and the white death, so that 5 out of 7 people will die. The red death is with sword, and the white death is with plague. Yet we cannot say with certainty that coronavirus disease is the same that will end in the reappearance of the Imam of the Age. Today, Iran and the world is facing with this phenomena, and such like diseases will take place in the world in other eras with more fatalities. Meanwhile, Dr. Sarvestani believes that coronavirus has had notable effects in the world. He continued, this disease has caused important events in the world. Firstly, a disappointment has taken place toward the Western civilization that has dominated the world. Although it used to consider itself as the final school in the world, it has totally failed to confront a macroscopic virus. The failure of this civilization has been exposed in various aspects like economy, politics, society, and so on. Today, the world is properly witnessing the reality that this disease and virus has disturbed social order and discipline, and the so-called civilized societies, which used to boast to the world, are the scene of people attacking each other for paltry matters. The capitalist economy has become bankrupt, and people have become frustrated with the capitalist system. Dr. Shafi'i Sarvestani added, once Zionist Christians introduced themselves as God's chosen nation and exploited Christian beliefs in favor of their hegemonic interest. For instance, George W. Bush said before the 2003 New Year that the United States had been summoned for granting freedom as one of the divine blessings to all creatures across the world. Earlier, Francis Fukuyama, the theorist affiliated to the White House, had said heartily that liberal democracy is the final achievement of mankind. Hence, we are in the end time and there will be no better version after it. Today, however, the failure of this strategy has become completely clear, and the inability of liberal democracy has been exposed to the entire world in economic, cultural, social, and political dimensions. Coronavirus showed to all that the Western civilization, despite much hue and cry, is totally unfounded and seriously vulnerable. For sure, the belief in the invincibility of the Western civilization has come to its end. Researcher and futurist Hojatul Islam Said Esfahanian said, what some of the Western politicians like Susan Rice and George W. Bush used to say, and was repeated by Trump later on, has been an artificial and bogus usage of this era. The West has used different tools during the past 100 years, especially since the victory of the Islamic Revolution, to suggest to the world that we are in the end time and that the administration of the time is in the hand of the West. The West has erased the apocalyptic idea in 2000, 2005, 2010, 2012, 2015, and 2020 as the end of the world. The Hollywood has greatly contributed to the spread of this thought, the reason why people rush widely to the shops and supermarkets and loot them as soon as a disease or an event occurs, and that the West, through the media, has spread the belief that there is a horrible apocalypse. Experts are of the opinion that, in spite of all efforts to fight the Islamic view on the end time, there has been a surge in tendency toward religions, especially Islam. The world has become frustrated with the materialistic ideas and schools. The end of this world, according to Islam, is not black and bleak, but it is luminous, promising, and hope-inspiring. The rule of Imam Mahdi will be in the hand of the oppressed and downtrodden, as the Quran stresses it. Imam Baqir, peace upon him, says that rule will be the final rule. In part of Ziyarat Ali Yasin, we read, greetings to him who is God's vicegerent on the earth. Greetings to him who is God's hoisted flag of justice, knowledge, and wisdom for the entire world. Greetings to him who is the reciter of the divine verses and the aspiration of all human beings.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the awaited hope for humanity. Today, Thursday, is the 18th of Shaban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Farvardin, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of April, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment by recitation of chapter Anbiya, verse 105.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. يوم نطوي السماء كطي السجل للكتب كما بدأنا أول خلق نعيده وعدا علينا إنا كنا فاعلين.
The day when we will fold the heaven like the folding of a written sheet for the records. As we began the first creation, we will repeat it. That is a promise binding upon us. Indeed, we will do it.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Majmal Bayan concerning this verse narrates a tradition from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Alayhi salam, implying that those righteous servants whom Allah points to in this verse as the inheritor of the earth are the followers of Mahdi in the end of the time. Again, upon the explanation of this holy verse, it is cited in Tafsir Qummi that the objective meaning of the fact that the righteous servants of Allah will inherit the earth is Mahdi, the Qa'im, and his followers. May Allah hasten his reappearance.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Baqiyatullahi khayrun lakum in kuntum mu'minin. Wa ma ana 'alaykum bihafiz.
Imam al-Mahdi, the awaited hope for humanity. Each and every one of us has to be very cognizant of their acts in relation to the part we play during the occultation of the Mahdi. This period has been like none other before, nor is the test set upon the Muslim Ummah and humanity at large like any before. With lack of direct contact with the divine leader of the time and the many injustices that have overwhelmed today's society, resulting in moral demise. On another side, many seek the help of Allah and pray for the hasty reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi and his promised victory. Strong faith in the promised triumph in the midst of injustice and darkness is a means of separating the true believers from the rest. A brief look into history shows endless of these so-called followers who eventually betrayed their leaders and thus put eternal shame and disgrace on themselves. A perfect example being the story of the inhabitants of Kufa in Iraq at the time of the great ancestor of al-Mahdi, Imam Hussein, son of Imam Ali, for whom he weeps blood each day until the day of his reappearance.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Imam al-Mahdi salamullah alayhi as the 12th and the final infallible Imam in Islam, in whom we believe in Shiite Islam, has been the last and infallible Imam who is still alive, but in a state of occultation. Now we find that, such indications, all of them indicate that Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam is a universal leader, and that he will reappear, and after his reappearance, he will go directly to Mecca. It shows that the world of Islam and the Islamic world and Kaaba as the symbol of the Islamic world will become a central place for the world peace. And at that time, we find that Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam will be very kind to people, to the oppressed, to those people who have long hoped in his reappearance in order to take not only the lives of those people who are alive, but the whole universe, the whole earth, the whole universe, to light, felicity, and relief. Because before the coming up of, before the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, a great majority of people in the world will feel rather hopeless. They will be frustrated. They will have experienced much frustration. So everybody, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, will certainly appreciate the coming of a universal savior in order to take them from darkness, from cruelty, from oppression, and from hardships to light, felicity, the relief, and the knowledge. And then we find that Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam will be followed by hundreds of people who are very much attached to him, very much devoted to him, such that nothing would separate those people from around him. And in this regard, we find that there are many hadiths in that the associates and followers of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam will be attached to him, as we find that pieces of small iron will be attached to a very powerful magnet.
Is coronavirus a sign of the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi? That's our question. Let me reference an example from Imam Ali, where he says that before Imam Mahdi will reappear, 2/3 of the world's population would have already died, and the remaining 1/3 would subscribe to the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim assalam. People are trying to strike an ill-informed correlation between this hadith and the coronavirus, concluding that we are near the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi. Now, what if this theory proves to be wrong tomorrow? Are we then going to claim that Imam Ali was wrong or that this hadith is wrong? Clearly not. Neither is Imam Ali wrong nor is this hadith necessarily wrong. The problem is that it is our short-sighted interpretation which is wrong. We need to also bear in mind that perhaps the understanding of this hadith could be different. Our role as we wait for Imam's reappearance. Connect with Marja'iyya, or religious authority. Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, commanded his followers to follow the most knowledgeable and most pious jurists in the seminaries during his occultation. Otherwise, following the religious opinion of unqualified individuals will not only lead the believers astray, but also cause suffering. It is an essential obligation upon all believers to choose a qualified jurist to follow and get correct direction and advice from him. This is why taqlid, or emulation, is obligatory.
يا حجة الله شكوانا إليه أدركنا أدركنا لبيك لبيك.
How do you think he's going to treat us? What do you think he's going to say when he comes back? Let me ask you this, in fact. If a father has gone away on a journey that lasts a year or 2 years or 5 years, when he comes back, what's he going to bring to his children other than souvenirs and love and affection? If the father was imprisoned for 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30 years, and then he comes back out, what's the first thing he's going to do? What do you think he's going to do? No, seriously. Doesn't he come back to his child and wipe his hand over his head and say, thank you? Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for waiting for me. Thank you for writing to me. Thank you for trying to reach out to me all these years, even though you couldn't reach me. And sure, you know, as children who grew up without a fatherhead, without a father figure over their head, of course they're going to turn out to be a little abnormal. Of course there's going to be issues here and there. Of course they're going to be, you know, they're going to have a record and they're going to be misbehaving and whatnot. But that's exactly what the father is there to do. The father is going to come back and say, listen, I know you had a rough time. I know it was painful. I know it was difficult for you. I know I wasn't there when you needed me, but I'm back now. And I'm here to fix you. I'm here to look after you. Which is why the hadith says that when the imam comes back, he will wipe his hand over the heads of his followers, over the heads of the Shia. حَتَّى تَكْمُلَ أَلْبَابُهُمْ حَتَّى تَكْمُلَ عُقُولُهُمْ. Their intellectual capacity will be fulfilled to its maximum level. And all forms of hatred and animosity between the believers, all of these things that you see today, all of these antagonisms that we have between fellow believers, brothers and sisters, all the reasons that we are divided, they will all disappear. Because our Father will be back. Our Father will be back after all this time. Unfortunately, as I said, the Imam has been introduced to us in the wrong fashion. The Imam is a loving Father. And that is why we need to continuously pray for his return. Never abandon belief in him. And ask God to hasten his return as much as possible. He thinks about us. He's constantly wondering what we're going through, finding ways to help us maneuver through the maze that is this life. Traditions, this isn't just poetic language. Hadiths tell us, "Inna namradu limaradikum." We fall sick when you fall sick. If you have a headache, the imam gets a headache before you do. SubhanAllah.
Allahumma, Allahumma, li wali, al-hujjat ibn al-Hassan.
Brothers and sisters, we reach to the end of this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for staying with us till now. And we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestion at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.